this morning we want to look at hope in tribulation. And remember, on Sunday morning, we try to take certain portions of Scripture and expand it and really try to give you a deeper insight into that portion of Scripture, which we can't do when we go verse by verse and try to cover the entire chapter, or like Wednesday night, we'll deal with two chapters in 2 Samuel. But this morning is the topical message, hope in tribulation. Now, if you've been with us and you remember in chapter 4, Paul explained the doctrine of justification by faith. In other words, being declared not guilty before the throne in heaven, we're made right with God. He's declared that doctrine that we are saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. And Paul denounces works righteousness, where you get saved by certain works and you stay saved by certain works. Sometimes people will accept Christ and they know, oh, praise the Lord, you know, I didn't do anything, He just saved me. And then they start trying to work themselves the rest of their Christian life. They think they have to work and keep up that salvation. No, not at all. You see, being made right and staying right with God has everything to do with a sinner's relationship with Jesus Christ. It's personal, it's intimate, it's constant, and it's growing. You see, and there's no secrets. There's no secrets at all. We are accepted in the Beloved. Sometimes we think we get saved and we've got to hide things from God, or we don't want Him to see certain things. You know, you might be around people that you feel that way, kind of intimidated. You're around them and you feel like they're waiting for you to act a certain way, and you got to be a certain way to be accepted by them, and it's kind of stressful. It's nice to be around people, you know, you can just be your own self, you know. You're just, what you see is what you get, you know, and you know they accept you. You see, that's the way it is with God in salvation. He accepts us in the Beloved. We don't have to try to be something we're not. Everything is open and bare before Him whom we have to do. And if there's sin in our life and we're convicted, then we confess that sin. He's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What we see, and we'll see it more in detail tonight, in chapter 5, the first 11 verses, Paul lists the benefits that are gained by those who trust in Jesus Christ for salvation, who share that common experience of salvation with God. And we see one of the things is peace with God, not intimidated. God doesn't intimidate us. We have peace, not only with God, but the peace of God. And then the second thing, we stand in His grace. And that really means unlimited divine favor with God. We stand in that grace. The third thing is hope of glory. That's what we'll deal with this morning. Hope of glory, His and ours. And then you find a fourth thing, that divine love, or agape, agapao is that term. It's God's love poured out into our hearts. And we also see that the fifth thing is we're saved from the wrath of God. You see that in verse 9, from the wrath of God. And we have joy in the Lord, or we're rejoicing, we're exalting in the Lord. That's verse 11. Well, that's just a little bit of an overview. We'll get more into it tonight. But this morning, we want to look at the hope and how it's developed, that hope in your heart. Maybe some this morning, it's like they're totally depleted of any hope, and they're hoping that this message will give them hope. But how is it developed, and how does it grow? It happens, as the Scripture states, through a series of life-changing events. It has to happen that way. It's not sitting in an easy chair and all of a sudden, you know, by osmosis, hope comes into your mind. No, they're life-changing events which have the potential, let me say this, the potential of making a person either hard or soft, either hope-filled or hopeless. You're going to go down one of two paths. And it really depends upon a person's reaction to and their heart condition in relationship to God. It only happens by our relationship to God. Is it distant or is it close? And what comes into your life, that distance or close, it's going to depend on how you react to those issues in your life. You see, hope is born out of tribulation. Boy, I don't like it, you know, even to teach on it. Well, we're in this passage, we have to. We don't skip over anything when you go verse by verse. And this is just what the Lord has put on my heart. You know, we think about tribulation, and that's how hope is built. And what is our reaction to tribulation? You see, hope is rooted in the soil of adversity. We all go through it, but what does it do to us? It really depends upon our relationship with God. Is it strong or is it weak? Is it distant or is it close? You see, just as the sun, when it shines, it'll soften the wax and it'll harden the clay. Trials to a believer. If it's a weak relationship, a distant relationship with God, it'll harden them. But if it's a close and you want to get closer, it'll soften. It'll make you more hopeful. But you see, the trials will make a person either better or bitter. As one poet said, there are no hopeless situations. There are only people who have grown hopeless about them. You might have come in this morning and you're hopeless over a situation. I understand that. That is a reality. That is a truth. But you see, God wants to lift you out of that hopelessness into a place of hopefulness. Notice, we read here in Romans chapter 5, verses 2 to 5. Here's where we're going to spring off. We exalt in hope of the glory of God. And that's His glory and our glory. And not only this, but we also exalt in our tribulation, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance, and perseverance proven character, and proven character hope. And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Notice that? It's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, it's that Christian who's led in the ways of the Lord. You see, our future and ultimate hope is in the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ will appear soon. He's coming. That's the hope of glory. That's what he's saying in verse 2. We exalt in the hope of our glory, looking for the blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Titus 3:5. You see, that's our hope and glory, but that's in the future. What about right now? What about exalting in hope that we have right now? Well, that's what he deals with as well. You see, we're also, when Christ appears, the Bible says that we're also going to appear with him. And at that time, when we do appear with him in glory, the Bible says, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. That's good news for the saints, but that's bad news for the sinners. But our present hope, now that's in the future. You know, that's the glory we'll have in the future. But our present hope is that God is working all things together for good, for those that love God and are called according to His purposes. It's hope in knowing that whatever comes my way will ultimately turn out for God's glory and my good. You see, that's the hope that we have right now. It's nice to think about the hope when Christ comes and we come with Him in glory, but you see that there's present hope as well, and that's what we want to deal with this morning. How do we exalt in tribulation? That word tribulation means to be pressed. Have you ever been pressed? Are you being pressed? It's pressed in the circumstances of life. Remember when Jesus was in Gethsemane? The olive press, he was pressed, sweating great drops of blood. Father, not my will, but thy will be done. He was pressed there. And the outcome of that was the cross and our salvation. But you see, behind the tribulation or the pressing that we experience, we need to look behind And we need to look beyond. Behind and beyond the tribulation. Because it's going to come, and it's going to come from the devil through people and through circumstances, but God allows it. God knows what we can handle. It's going to come. It's not the great tribulation where God is pouring out his wrath. That's a different tribulation of the Christ rejectors. This is tribulation coming from the devil through people and through circumstances, but God is giving permission of that in our life. And when it does, when we have that tribulation in our life or those trials, it's for a good reason. The Bible tells us in Psalm 119, 75, in faithfulness thou hast afflicted me. In faithfulness, God allows that tribulation, the trial. He afflicts us with that in his faithfulness. You see, tribulation just simply comes with the territory of us being Christians. All who live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution, tribulation. In this world you shall have tribulation, the Bible says. You see, and if we don't have the right perspective, as Paul did, on the trials and the tribulation, we begin to feel that God is against us. You know, he's doing this against us. When he's not, he's doing it for us. But we feel that way. And also we start thinking people, we come to them for help and their help is worthless. It's vain. It's like Job's counselors. Remember the counselors? They were saying, Job, it's your fault. What you're going through, these trials, and Satan was really attacking. He says, it's you. It's your fault, Job. And God says, they are worthless counselors. I had a fellow who basically flushed his ministry down the toilet, and what he kept saying to me is, it's your fault, Bill. It's your fault. And I'm just thinking, he just doesn't understand, and that's a tragedy. It's a tragedy when you don't understand. It's nobody's fault. It's nobody's fault, except we're just unwilling to go through that process that God is bringing us through to bring us out on the other side. For the very purpose that he's laying out here that we're going to look at, to build that hope in us. You see, in tribulation, we need to look beyond those circumstances to what God is working out for us, and also look behind. Why is he even doing it? Look behind in what he is working in us. Because God is working in us in that tribulation, those circumstances, but he's also working for us, for something in the future. If we only see the trial, if we only see the testing, and then we start, trusting our emotions, trusting our feelings, if we don't understand these things, then we're going to be down in the dumps. We're going to be bitter people, bitter Christians. There's a lot of Christians that are bitter. We're not going to be better Christians. We're going to be gloomy. We're going to be glum without hope. You see, and some, unfortunately, some give up, not realizing in the midst of that trial, in the midst of that circumstance, hope is being formed amidst the trial. And it's only seen after the trial when it becomes part of you. You see, it's only after looking back where you go, wow, I have greater hope than I had before. It's not so much in the midst of it at that time. People give up and they don't realize it's being formed. And after you go through it, then it's a settled issue in your heart. You see, God allows things for his own reason. And we're not going to understand all the reasonings of God. The hidden things are given to God. The revealed things are given to man. The things we're talking about this morning are the revealed things. I don't know your circumstance, my circumstance, and exactly God's mind behind that. But often when we go through it, then we see, God did work good out of that. Isn't that what the scripture tells us in Romans 8:28? We'll be there in a few chapters. 8:28, we know. In other words, we have knowledge that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God and are called according to his purposes. You see, that's why Paul could exalt in this, in tribulation, because he had the right perspective on what God was doing. And so can you exalt when you have that right perspective. You can say, I exalt in knowing that the tribulation in me is working patience, and in that patience, proven character or greater maturity, and in that greater maturity, hope. Hope that God is in control. He's coming through. He came through in this situation. He'll come through in the next. You see, Paul knew that. And we all need patience, don't we? We all need perseverance just to keep going on. In fact, the Bible says the precious possession of a person is perseverance. It's like gold, spiritual gold to us. Just to keep going and plod on and persevere. Hebrews tells us in 10:36, you have need of patience so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what is promised. You need that patience, that overcoming attitude, because that's what patience is, an overcoming attitude. Not just, you know, gritting the teeth and bearing it and enduring it, but actively overcoming, getting into the Bible. When you're going through that hard time, not just laying down and rolling over and, you know, but getting up and move forward. You know, praise the Lord, worship the Lord, come to fellowship, study the Bible, be there. In the midst of the trials, that's the persevering. It's not pulling the covers over your head and giving up. That's what he's saying. Overcoming attitude, we have need of patience. All great saints have had to go through that. Persevere and wait. We don't like to wait, but we have to wait. We have to go through that. Think of Abraham. He was given the promise, and then 25 years later, that promise was fulfilled with Isaac. He had a son. Remember Moses. Moses, you're going to deliver the children of Israel. It didn't happen for 40 years, and Moses had to go out to the backside of the wilderness. Remember Joseph. The sun and moon and the stars shall bow down before you. The sheaves shall bow down. In other words, your family will bow down before you. You're going to be a ruler. Didn't happen for 15 years. And a lot of that time he was in prison. What about David? David anointed king, but for over a decade, he was hunted by Saul. He didn't come into that promise until later. And all believers in God are going to go through the same process. We like the promises of God, don't we? But we don't like to wait. We don't like to persevere through that waiting process. And yet you find in the Bible, it's a reoccurring theme, wait on the Lord, wait on the Lord. Why? Because it's hard to do. It's hard to do. I remember J. Vernon McGee said, his favorite scripture was, and it came to pass. It didn't come to stay. I mean, he was just kind of joking, tongue in cheek, but it came to pass. It's not going to come to stay, that trial, that tribulation. It's going to pass, and you're going to be better for it. You see, we pray for urgent needs that we have, and we want to maybe get out of a difficult circumstance that we're in. And sometimes we give God a deadline. God, I can only last another week, and Lord, you better do something. And so we give him a deadline. And then after the deadline, we take over. We start, you know, trying to work things out on our own, and we mess things up. We complicate situations really bad. Isn't that what Abraham did? Abraham was tired of waiting. His wife, Sarah, suggested, well, you know, my handmaiden, Hagar, she's fertile. Have a child with her. So he does, has Ishmael. He messes up. He gets impatient. So he's going to help God out. And we're dealing with that mess today. In the Mideast, the Arabs against the Jews. It was Isaac against Ishmael. Just that chiding. And in fact, Isis today are descendants of Ishmael. You see, whenever we try to help God out, whenever we try to get involved, we just, you know, delay what God wants to do. What about Israel? We want a king like the other nations. They insisted. God accommodated. They had Saul, one of the worst kings, you know, over Israel. Just horrible. Brought it into great despair. And then finally, David came to the throne. But we get tired of waiting and we want to help God out. Well, don't. Just continue to wait. You see, tribulation brings, it brings perseverance. And what it does is it backs us into a corner. And that's a good place to be. It's a good place to be and stay in that corner. It boxes us in. Stay in that box. Don't try to bust out. We can't move. There's no options. Well, that's good. We can only sit tight and hold on and trust the Lord. God forces us against our will to wait. I mean, how many of us have been through that? But oh, when you look back, man, you've come forth like gold. The character quality and the trust in the Lord and the hope that's come out of that. You see, that's why God forces us into that situation. God answers the prayer. Have you ever prayed, Lord, not my will, but thy will be done? You ever pray that model prayer? Well, that's exactly what God is doing. He's bringing his will about in your life and in my life. I think this morning, us being here is a testimony of that. God has come through for us so far. That's why you're here. He's come through. As you look back, you go, well, yeah, he has been faithful. Not exactly how I thought he would or how I wanted him to be, but yeah, I was in tribulation. And I thought that he'd kind of abandoned me, given up on me. But, you know, I guess he's come through. I mean, I'm here and I'm listening and I'm trying to receive that. What you're saying, Bill? You see, perseverance develops, as it says here, proven character. Proven character. It's causing maturity in you and in me. Proven, that term there, proven, is a term that's used for metals passing through the fire and purging the impurities out of them. That's what God is doing in us. And the depth and the quality of God's character is being formed in us, or you might say godly character. And it only comes through the experience of faithfulness in that tribulation, persevering in that fire, in that trial. I think it's really lacking in the church today, unfortunately, as a whole. Sometimes you see a sense of revival and a sense of seeking God and just the purity in the hearts of people and how they've just, you know, they're going all out for the Lord, totally abandoned for the Lord. And I think we're just so diminished in that today. One of the interesting things in 54 AD, the denarius, that coin that they would use for commerce, the denarius contained 94% silver. But then in 218 AD, 150 some years later, it only contained 43% pure silver. It was diminishing. And then just not too many years after that, 50 or so years after that, 270 AD, it had 1% silver. I kind of think of the Christians that way. Sometimes they start out so strong, but then all of a sudden they compromise, and all of a sudden that sense of God's presence and that purity and that zeal for the Lord, it diminishes. Think of the U.S. coins. U.S. coins, in 1964, the coins, a quarter, half dollar, in 64, 1964, 90% silver. And then in 69, only 40% silver. Because if you did take a quarter and turned it on edge, you'd see it was all silver. But then by 69, you look at it, it looks like it's half, you know, kind of copperish looking and half silver. And today, zero. Zero silver. I just wonder how many Christians, because God wanted to prove them, but they gave up. They got bitter instead of better. They took themselves out of the smeltering, spiritual smeltering pot of God. And they decided to do it themselves. You see, you might say, you know, as you've gone through that trial, you might say, well, I was on the verge of imploding or exploding, one of the two. But now, you know, I did come through that. The things you're talking about, Bill, I don't think that spiritual life is depleted from me. I don't think it's gone from 90% to 40% to 0%. No, I think I'm stronger. Now I trust and I worship God in a greater way, and it's become a settled issue in my life. That's who I am now. That's not just something I come to on Sunday morning and get a little bit, you know, of religion and then go back home and I'm my own natural, you know, depleted spiritual person again. No, not at all. You're saying, no, God has done a work in me, and I'm grateful and I'm thankful for that. You see, that's proven character. And the more we experience God's faithfulness, the more we have patience to wait upon Him. Patience to wait upon Him because we know what He's up to. We know what He's doing. And in turn, there's that deepened spiritual character, that deepened Christian quality, that maturity, that mature Christian character. And that's the key. There's the key to waiting with confidence on God to bring to pass in our life what His desire is, that great hope. We're waiting on Him. Now, there is a downside to that. Now, the downside to that, sometimes when you're waiting upon the Lord, because you wait on the Lord in your life, and you're also waiting on the Lord in other people's life. You're not different with them than you are to yourself. And so sometimes people don't think that you really are doing anything, that you really care. They don't really care. I'm going through this trial, and they don't do anything about it. And so you don't do anything about it in your life. You just patiently wait until God forms that. Sometimes people think, or they want you to fix them. Only God can work in you that depth of character and that hope. Nobody's gonna fix you. You see, I've had someone years ago when we came into town to start the church, and they were from quite a large church, but they'd come over to Hawaii and they came into the church, and one of the things they said to me is, Bill, you move too slow. And I thought, well, I'm moving at the pace I think God wants me to move. And that person had gone through some really, him and his family went through some really hard times. And I think because sometimes you could be in this, almost this bubble environment of, you know, just a, you know, a church that's really, you know, moving forward, and you've just kind of come in and you've been swept away in it. So you think that's how everything should happen. And so that's why I think he said, Bill, you move too slow. Although we had just come into town, we were only like a year old in the Lord. But then he got to go through that process. He tried to start a ministry, and it just never, never worked out. You see, because sometimes, you know, when you just kind of wait on the Lord, people misinterpret that like you don't care, you're moving too slow, why don't you do something? And on the other hand, sometimes lots of activity, it has the appearance of doing a lot for the Lord, doesn't it? Just all this activity, all this stuff going on. But you see, if pressure has pushed you into that, you may be doing it out of the flesh and not out of the Spirit. Remember, Abraham was pushed into that. Okay, have a child. You did. You had Ishmael. That was a mistake. You should have waited for God's promise. You see, the Bible tells us that you're God. You're God's workmanship in Ephesians 2:10. We are His workmanship or His poem. It's poema, where we get poem. And in other words, He's writing basically your life. He's actually designed your heritage for you. He's done that. And so you need to wait on that and let God do it. We are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. You see, it's God's work in my life. It's God's work in your life. What we can do here at Calvary Chapel and what you hear and what you get is just simply feed you and hope that you allow God to do that work. And then look behind to see God's hand on things in your life. You know, things we may have fretted over, we've been concerned for, and we've wondered, you know, why aren't these things changing? And all the while, He's faithful. He's faithful in that as we look behind because He's making us into something for what beyond in the future He's preparing us for. And oh, so important. He is working. God's at work today in your life and in my life. Never overlook that. And tribulation, working patience. And in turn, that proven, mature character and the deep assurance of hope. When you go through it, you look back and you have that hope that God will come through. He came through before, so He's going to come through again. You see, we're learning that God is always faithful. He's never unfaithful. You know, He looks down the line to the next work He wants to do in my life, and at the same time, He prepares me for that work. So I'm looking behind that preparation of me. I'm looking beyond that work that He wants to do. I see now what I didn't see then. I didn't see years ago when I was just a young Christian, a young pastor. Didn't see that at all. In the midst of tribulation, God is working. He's working a great work. I thought, you know, sometimes we think He's done with us. Man, we're wiped out. We're set on the shelf. But in reality, He's proving. He's proving. He's putting us through that purifying process. He's removing the carnality. He's removing that flesh life that hinders His full work and His full blessing. That's what He's doing in us. And that's what happens through the trial. Showing that He's faithful in preparing me for the next thing that He's doing. Someone has asked years ago of me, did you ever think, Bill, shaping surfboards, you'd end up being a pastor? And I said, absolutely not. No way. Not at all. And yet, that's what God does. He takes us from one thing, and He prepares us to go into that other thing that He's preparing us for. Ephesians, again, chapter 3, verse 20 says, now to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to Him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. He's doing it. It's God's work. And with that, He's preparing His workers. You are His workmanship. You are His workers. He does it through tribulation. And through the tribulation, I know that's a harsh word, but through the trials, through the tough times, He develops endurance in each one of us, which builds a depth of character, and the forging of that results in hope. In hope. Look at yourself. How old are you in the Lord? You started out, and how He's brought you this far. I know you have more hope than you once did. Especially if you've gone through that trial and you've seen that trial has given you endurance and then the endurance has given you that proven character and that proven character, hope. You see, as it says in our text, and hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through Jesus Christ who was given to us. You see, the difference between the better person and the bitter person is God's love poured out in your hearts. Are you sitting here this morning A person who's more in love with God, in love with Jesus Christ, and loves your fellow brothers and sisters more than you ever have? Or not? Is it like, man, I'm just on the wire here. I don't even want to be around people, you might think, you might say. Well, don't chafe against whatever God is taking you through, because He wants you to go through that with hope and eyes on Him. He will bring you through that. It'll create in you a perseverance, a patience, a moving on. And with that, you'll find that there will be something formed in you, a maturity that you can't have in the world, you never could have in the world. And in that maturity, that trust in the Lord, you're going to have hope. You're going to have hope right now where you sit, because He brought you through. And as He brings you farther, you're going to have greater hope. And you'll find that God's love is going to be formed in your heart like never before, as it is even now. Let's pray. Father, we thank You so much, Lord, for that work of grace that You do in each one of us, Lord, as we just simply yield and give our hearts and our lives over to You. Father, we pray this morning, Lord, that whatever a person might be going through, Lord, it may be a death in the family. It may be a bad report from the doctors. Lord, it's a terminal illness. Lord, it may be just those who are going through just, they can't even put their finger on it. It's just a deep depression. And it almost seems like the makeup of their life just is that way, Lord, and they can't even figure it out. Sometimes that's so frustrating. And yet at the same time, Lord, You've brought them here this morning to speak Your truth and Your word to them. And so now, Lord, I do pray, Lord, that Your Holy Spirit, Lord, would fill that person, especially those that are going through the hard times that I just described, that Your Holy Spirit would blow a fresh breath upon them, Lord, and that they would come through with great hope, Lord, and great endurance going through that situation they're going through. Lord, we love them as a body of Christ. Lord, we might not know the situation that they're going through, but let them know, Lord, that we love them and we're concerned for them. And You tell us that even before we ask a prayer, You know the needs before they're asked. So, Lord, we corporately as a body, we just pray, Lord, Your best for those that are going through difficulty. And we know You will do that. Lord, we thank You. We love You. We bless You this morning. Help us, Lord, to endure. In Jesus' name, amen.